this thing rolling. All right, here we go. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the camaraderie and the love and friendship we have in here. And I thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for spelling it out clearly on how you expect us and want us to relate to one another, how you view us and how we need to view ourselves. And Lord, I do pray for success in our inner battles that we have within ourselves, that we succeed in mimicking you, obeying you, and following you, and that the world knows that we are lovers of you because we obey you, and that we're different simply because of you. It's not us. It's your work, Lord. So I pray that you're honored today in our discussion and set aside this time specifically for you. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so love three. This is the first chapter we've gone three sessions on.
It's important.
It is important. Sorry, yeah, Happy Mother's Day, right? So, happy Mother's Day. But love, our key verse is Colossians 3:14. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So we talked about a lot of that the past 2 weeks. On love is that one thing that just wraps everything up, right? Combines everything. That it's a wholeness. We're walking in one direction as a full unit. But today we're going to talk about how to love and how to grow in that love. So far we've really focused on actions. I remember, Keith, you mentioned something about the feelings and actions a while back. Somebody mentioned the Lisa Turkhurst quote, that feelings are indicators, not dictators. So are emotions involved?
Sure.
Okay. So is it the touchy-feely?
Not all the time.
It can be.
It can't decision.
Yeah. There's different types of love, right?
Right, different types of love, yeah. So there's a component of it, right?
I like the touchy-feely parts, yeah, but it's not all that it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, I did something different today since it's Mother's Day, and women typically are the volunteers to read our passages. I didn't do any passages. We're going to have them all on the screen.
Oh, okay.
Give the mothers a break. So Romans 12:1, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Any comments on that?
Fun competition.
Yeah. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. New perspective from the sermon, right? So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Talk about that love for a second. Any comments? This is a different kind of love than what we've discussed thus far.
I think we've got to check our emotions, wash our emotions through the word, whatever, because sometimes they're not right.
And your emotions might reflect your motives?
Sure.
Your agenda?
Yeah, but expected. Might not be right.
Yeah,
might be anger.
That's expected right. Outcome? Might be anger.
Yeah, it might not be. Your emotions might not be love. Mm-hmm. You might have to overrule your emotions.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not just, I brought this up to kind of show the depth of it and the interpersonal privacy of things, but intimacy is the word. But really, this is just love in general, right?
It seems like Jesus is loving the church. Mm-hmm. Like our value, he sees our value, not necessarily loving what we're doing at the time.
Right. You're just your being itself.
Right. Loving your value, and it's going to bring us, and we'll be renewed. And in the future, we will be holy and all that.
A bit more lovable.
Yeah, you will accomplish that. But right now.
In spite of, right?
Yeah.
In spite of. It's also showing the depth of the responsibility by comparing how husband loves his wife to how Christ loved the church. That's a huge responsibility, not just in intimacy, definitely in intimacy, but it's a huge undertaking.
On his part.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I always use the scripture when people say, you know, my husband, he's, it's hard for me to follow him and blah, 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 and all the stuff. And I said, well, if we truly love our wives, that we would die for her, okay, so to speak, like Christ did, and not just talk about it, but through action. I mean, you know, we all sinners, and you know, but in general, if the wife would understand that he would do that through the action, through the marriage, it would be easy for me as a man to have a leader at home where I know when it comes down, he has my back to follow him, right? And I think, as a man talking, it should be fairly easy for a wife to follow that man if she has seen over the years that he's not just the leader, he lives the lives, he makes it up, that he has her back to follow somebody like that. But there's a lot of macho going out, I think, on the men's part, a lot of macho display, which is really not love.
Right.
Because it's easy to be tough, but would you be willing to lay your life down?
Right.
And if you do, then I don't want to say you can't demand, but Christ says, I demand from you to love me, because if you love me, keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gave us the new command.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, so that it's that masculinity that's really not legit, right? It's a
right.
False manhood, self-promotion.
Yeah, masculinity would be like Christ defines it. You love your wife so much that you would die for her.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, I don't think you would have a problem that she will follow you. And if she doesn't, you know, it's nothing you can do, but you can be the leader to show her that you would do that.
Right. Yeah. And that's on you, and then following is on her.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's the misuse of that concept of love that has led to much of where we are today,
mm-hmm.
where instead of appreciating masculinity, because it's strong and yet it's sacrificial, and it's got the best of the people that you're leading involved. Instead, that was misused. Women were in many ways not treated properly or abused.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to fix that, well, you just make man something else.
Yeah, you toss it all out.
You toss it out and go like, masculinity is terrible. It's horrible. It's evil.
Toxic.
It's toxic. And you put a man in a dress, I guess, at that point. You know? That's where we are.
No, you don't.
Right. No, you don't. It's right.
That's
you go back.
That's a response, but not the answer. Exactly.
Yes.
But they're doing the same with women now. Men playing women's sports and taking away motherhood because men can now have babies. It's just, the world is just
only in
men.
Their mind.
How many men do you know that means?
Well, it's on the news.
So it must be true.
I might be lying to you.
she read it on the internet.
Men cannot have babies.
Men, yeah,
I agree. No, we all agree with that.
Men can be babies.
When we get sick, we're babies.
Yeah.
So Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. This 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Yeah. Oh, Peter. So 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. There's got to be some comments on those.
We fail a lot there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't cover each other's sins. Sometimes we point them out.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. It scratches an itch.
Sweet little morsels.
Mm-hmm. That first verse also just checks what comes from within you. It's sincere and from sincere brotherly love, from a pure heart. Love, you cannot have. We love because he first loved us, so we cannot have sincere brotherly love from an earnest and pure heart without the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be walking in obedience to be able to even step into this.
Yeah, and you're hinting what our ultimate take-home point is, that there's this personal responsibility in the work of the Holy Spirit. So, how to love, right? We see these adverbs, words. We see these words describing how to love, right? So different versions and translations have different words, but this is generally the thrust of it all. So the question is, in what daily acts can you express these qualities of love?
In any daily act.
Like, example.
Like,
you're in line at Subway. Someone cuts you off. You're in a hurry to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. That's sacrificial, brotherly, obedient, fervent. I mean, it's all of them.
Okay.
You can do them all in prayer, except maybe the perfect thing for it.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking more acts, like in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Anybody have any examples?
Like earnestly giving sincere compliments.
You know, oh, yeah.
I think that helps a lot of
people. Yeah. Not just putting the lipstick on the pig kind of thing. Yeah,
and not gossiping. I mean, think how a church would grow if everybody got along and covered each other's sins. Didn't let that cancer spread when there's a problem.
Yeah, the problem is we're all sinners, you know.
Yeah,
we're all hypocrites. Yeah,
if we could all cover each other's sins instead of exploit them, it would be a
be a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things I think we're really bad at.
Yeah. I think that would increase multiply the attraction,
mm-hmm.
the attractiveness of a community, you know, people group.
Well, brotherly love, you walk alongside each other in the good times and the bad times. You love each other through everything.
Mm-hmm. Thick and thin. Yeah.
I like the word earnestly when you, you know, Christ earnestly pursues his children. He pursues us. You know, we are out of line to go seek after us with the hounds of heaven, right? The Holy Spirit will convict us. I think even, you know, in a marriage, you need to earnestly pursue your spouse, even when you feel like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
You know, the problem I see there is that God calls us as his children to do things out of love the way he sees it, that
right.
The world does not see it that way. We're supposed to gently correct, but if we say anything that's viewed as being hateful or judgmental, yet we're told multiple times in Scripture that the, you know, save your brother from going to hell. Basically, not you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think a lot of that we miss is the context of relationship.
Yes.
You know, I have to be the voice in Craig's life that Craig listens to rather than dismisses. Because if I'm a guy in his life that he just like, shut up, whatever, then that's going to cause a fight, right?
Yeah.
So I need to be a guy in his life that he actually goes, maybe he's right. You know, so it's on me to form that relationship.
Not that this has ever happened. I just want to clear that up. There's not, no.
So, it hasn't? I wanted to publicly confront you about that.
Okay, we'll move to step two. I'm going to bring some witnesses.
You got to dumb him down so
they can see. Yeah. But yeah, I think a lot of it is that relationship. Because, you know, love really doesn't transmit without being in a relationship, right? It takes people. So,
and that's also part of being led by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to do something that is not going to go before you in the process of you doing.
Right.
So if you're led by the Spirit, then you can leave the results to Him and you can just act obediently.
Yeah.
Because in the very same situations, but at different times, the Holy Spirit can lead you to keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
And the exact same thing, He can lead you to say, you better speak up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they won't really be different. The message won't be different.
Outcome. Yeah, I mentioned this last year or two in class. There's a song I listen to every now and then just to remind myself of a point. And it's a very secular song, but in the song, the guy talks about this girl meets this guy, this girl gets pregnant, and as she's going to the abortion clinic, they call her a killer, they call her a sinner, and they call her a whore. And that reminds me of our reputation is on us. You know, my reputation is on me. And do I want to be associated with those people that hold up those you're going to hell kind of, you know, that kind of person? So I think it's all about who, you know, who you are within the context of that relationship on what we communicate in it. But yeah, I mean, correction is obviously a component. I think we do need to be quick to speak in from a loving perspective in a loving manner. When we notice something, throw it off, right?
But it's not always our responsibility to be quick to speak to everyone. God will lead us who to speak to,
yeah.
And God will lead us when not to speak.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it also goes back, like, I think it was last week or the week before, we talked about who's your neighbor, right? So neighbor and brother, they are confusing words because in one, what? Because in one context, he will be referencing your Christian brother. And then in another context, is he's referencing all mankind. So, yeah, I think we need to attend to the word and context in the Greek like that.
Well, fervently really speaks to the intensity, too, that we are to love with. You know, it's supposed to be a passionate, we should be passionate about following the pattern that God has given for us to love others. And it shouldn't just be a drudgery thing.
Right.
Right? And I mean, look, these things are not easy.
They're not easy to navigate. Man. If it was easy, we wouldn't be talking about it, right?
Exactly.
We're not talking about tying shoes in Sunday school because that's easy.
You know, in my life, as long as it's been, there's almost I'm not going to say every relationship, but almost every relationship that's tested as to how deep my love is going to go. You know, if it's just that phileo thing, it can come and go, but sometimes I have to switch to the agape, you know, and just let God's love flow through me to a situation that's really hard.
Yeah.
And even I've had to just quote to myself, love is patient. I mean, just some kind of thing that is on my heart to react in a way that would honor the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I can't even tell you all the different examples, but that would be where earnestly loving and sacrificially loving has to be the call of the day.
Mm-hmm. And we're all equipped differently too, aren't we? I mean,
yes.
Don't we have different personalities, different strengths, different assets, you know, those sorts of things, different resources, right? So on page 215 of the latest edition, he talks about, he said, we should do more than just decide to do acts of love. We should desire to do them. How do you increase one's desire?
Well,
I mean, how does that work?
Pray for it.
Pray for it.
Sometimes I don't know about y'all, but like I've known I should love somebody and I really don't want to.
Right.
And I just say, God, please let me see them like you see them and remember they're your child. And I always think about how I would be so hurt to watch someone hurting my children or judging them or, you know, not being kind.
Yeah.
And I really have, especially on that highway thing you brought up, someone cut you off, I'm like, whoo.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's your child.
That's
right?
Somebody's.
Not mine. Right.
Not mine.
Yeah.
Only at half throttle, though.
Only at half throttle. I won't try to really go too far. It depends on the day, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm selfish. It depends on how I feel.
Yeah, yeah. It's the emotion thing.
Yeah.
But what about exposure? I mean, the more familiar, I guess exposure and familiarity, doesn't that kind of increase desire?
Yes.
If you've had good experiences with something, you want more of it. Right? It's like George Strait songs are always like 2.5 minutes. They're never 4 minutes. You notice that? George Strait songs are always short, leaving you wanting more. It's like my mom only letting us have 3 cookies. You know, it just makes you want more. So, I mean, I think that increases our desire. The more exposure do we have to acts of kindness and loveness. Because doing good, isn't that kind of becomes the reward in and of itself?
It's addictive.
Yeah.
Well, you set patterns of behavior. I mean, we know we set patterns of behavior in our mind. Like, if I get up to walk my dog every morning, on the morning I don't get up to walk my dog, I sort of miss it. I miss it. My body misses it, my mind, my focus, and then my dog acts horrible. And so then I also miss it because I didn't follow through. But, like, we set patterns, mm-hmm. and then we adjust to those patterns. And so if you set positive patterns, then you get to live in the positive consequences of setting those patterns.
And they reinforce it. But haven't we been taught that love is an act of the will? I mean, we hear that a lot in the Christian community, right? It's an act of the will. An act of the will. But I think some of it is learnable, trainable, right? And kind of incorporated into your persona and your way of thinking.
Well, the Word of God washing over your mind is also how you get a greater desire. Mm-hmm. You learn what God wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
That has a cleansing effect on your mind, as truth does, and you begin to then want to desire.
Mm-hmm. That's step one of
Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So we delight in Him, and then He will create a desire in us that aligns with His will and His word, right?
Yeah, that's the logical extension, right? The content up here outflows.
And it's like through all of this, you know, He must increase and we decrease.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be our walk every day, is putting Him first and ourselves second.
Yeah.
That's how we love. That's how we do all of these.
Yeah. Yeah. Kingdom building. Imagine that.
Well, just wanted to mention one thing. You know, it seems to me our culture has got so immoral that our silence is often taken as agreement, condoning.
Right.
If we don't say it. And I guess that's where I wrestle with it a lot.
Yeah. It's a struggle.
It is.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like every now and then you run across a person who represents or is a part of that movement or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I don't really run around. The circles I run in aren't full of blue-haired transgender dudes birthing babies. You know, I don't have an opportunity a whole lot of speaking to those folks. You know, so in my mind, they're the they out there. They're on the news. They're the articles.
It's not just that.
Come visit me.
So many.
Come visit me.
Yeah, come hang out with you, walk around your world for a day.
An example, I think, of where we, some members of our church did speak out very effectively, and I brought it up before, but the deal with the public library, our people were not silent about the truth and about how it's not good to put pornographic material, and in fact, even entice kids over to it. Right? And that was the argument that was being made. Those things are not good for kids. We're not going to, you know, we're going to resist that, mm-hmm. and we're going to ask for it, those books to be put up. And, you know, I think I think it was an odd dynamic, because the people that showed up with the other idea really were ready for us to behave in a different way than we did. They were ready for us to rear up and say some
aggressive,
put those books, I mean, get rid of all these books that we don't want. Or and we just said, look, that needs to be between a parent and their child. If they want to go get them that book, they can. But we don't want it to be in the reach of a child.
Yeah.
And so I think they were surprised by that. And so we were able to speak the truth and maybe have an opportunity for people to see, you know, not just that you were hating on them.
And then there was a monument thing in Huntsville too, wasn't there? Wasn't there some monument thing? I remember I talked to one guy here who called a county commissioner. And there was some rebellion thing about a monument somewhere.
The Sam Houston Monument. They had some kind of guard in front of it.
Was it the BLM? That was in the riots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say that the care center is a way of not being silent too, right? I mean, there's a lot of ways that we can speak out. And do it in a way that's not. You know, viewed as hate from the other
prison ministry.
I've always viewed it as like it's the tail wagging the dog. But I mean, how many cars did you run across on your way to church this morning? There's not a traffic jam on a Sunday morning ever. No. You know what I mean? Our church attendance is just plummeted in our state.
You know, I probably mentioned this before, but it's been a while. If I did, but you know, in San Jacinto County, they had crosses on the windows of courthouse, and that group that hates Christians, I forget the name of them, but they were going to sue. They sent the county judges,
a letter
to take that stuff down. They were going to sue the county, and so the judges wanted to have a hearing. Well, I mean that. The church has put the word out, and that convention center down there in Cold Spring, or whatever it is, I mean, there were several hundred people that showed up.
Yeah, 500, I think.
Good.
I mean, it wasn't full, but it was close.
Yeah.
And they stopped it.
Yeah.
The people that were going to do it didn't even show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that group is like out of D.C. or somewhere there. I think they just nationally were sending those letters out.
From religion, maybe.
Michigan.
In San Jacinto, they just kind of said, bring them up.
Yeah, and they never showed.
Didn't show up.
Go over here. They also used to light those crosses, and it was just so, you know, money is always something that's a problem. And during that meeting, someone stood up and said, I'm going to pay for the lights.
Oh, cool.
And they turn them on again now.
Yeah.
My daughter told me about a sermon she heard the other day, and she's young, of course, and so the LGBTQ community and stuff, something she faces more than, like you said, I ever face in my everyday world. And she said, the pastor put it like this, even if you just read the statistics of that community and like the age they die at, how much mental illness there is, how much suicide there is, things like that. He said, you just think about if your best friend or your brother or sister were going to move to a country where everyone there dies early, everyone there is murdered or kills themselves, that you would go to them and say, please don't do that. Don't do that. We don't want to lose you. Basically, it comes back around to when we do feel like we need to speak out to people who are not living a lifestyle that to them it looks like you want me to align with the Christian perspective. It's like, no. What you're doing leads to death and destruction, and I love you. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want you to go towards death and destruction. Mm-hmm. And if we keep that posture in our heart, that we're not trying to call you out because you're wrong, and I know what right is, which may be true, they may be wrong, and we do know what right is, but the posture I'm coming from is that I don't want you to head towards death and destruction.
It's a preservation.
I just love you. Yeah. And I hope you do the same for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The the LGBTQ whatever lifestyle and so forth is being promoted, the thing that has me upset about it is like these drag queen shows and so forth that they're presenting to children. You know, I'm not saying we ought to go out and outlaw drag queen shows. If people over 18 years old want to go meet somewhere and do that, fine. That's on them. But we should not have to expect our young people to be exposed to that. You know, we have laws that keep them from providing alcohol for children. We should have laws that protect them from being exposed to things that they're not prepared for. And this, you know, this drag queen stuff is just blows my mind. Why would any parent think that's a good idea? And yet you see pictures of it with parents with the kids sitting on their lap watching these stupid shows. And so I'm thinking, well, if the parents are that dumb, we actually need a law that says no. And your child is 18, they can go see those things. But you can't take them that. You can't take your kid to the bar.
Just need to move to Florida.
You what?
Just need to move to Florida.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not, you know, people say, well, you're for freedom. You want people to choose. Well, but
it's all within certain parameters.
Yeah, right? Within parameters.
Yeah, we can't have full freedom.
No, you can't have full freedom.
No, yeah, that's called anarchy. Right?
Yeah, there's.
Yeah. It reflects the culture, though.
Yeah, the further we get away from God, the more laws we need.
Yeah, but of course, legality, I don't think that's going to be the answer. But reflecting the current culture, right? If you are postmodernist and you think that basically, you know, truth is defined by the culture, well, then it's not weird to them.
This world is not.
The reason why
own.
You think it's weird is because
no.
You see,
we're getting more and more alienated.
There's a standard of truth handed from God to you, and that truth is solid, and it doesn't matter if you agree with it or not. That's not their viewpoint. They think all truth is a cultural construct.
Well, when you're 18, you can choose which culture you want to go in.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When you're under 18, you don't need to be exposed to that.
It's crazy, but that's.
It's the same vein of thought of, you know, I'm not going to tell my kid what religion to adhere to or what to believe. They need to find that themselves, and it's that same. It's just more of that, you know. Yeah, it's awful. All right, so how to grow in love? So this love that we're talking about, not the LGBT stuff, right? It's getting back to the text. This love can only be produced by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. So 1 Thessalonians 3, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. But then a chapter later, we see this. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more. So it can be taught, it can be learned, you can change and be different, and you do have volitional control over how much you love, how much you act, right? So here we go again.
There's one thing, it can be taught, but it says you have been taught by God.
Yes.
So we as humans, it's hard for us to teach love unless we are led by God.
Right.
Because it's just not in us to do that. It's not in us to love. It has to come through the Spirit, through God.
Yeah, like the second greatest commandment, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Our innate love is self-love,
right?
Our pride. And so because of this process right here, we have the capacity through the Lord's work to love others. Yeah, exactly.
And we do have to kind of tell ourselves to make sure to love all, because you know, he does say love all, not just the person that agrees with you, which I think is very difficult for me to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Instead of just go to be like, oh, that's wrong, and judge. So it's one of the biggest challenges, exactly.
Yeah.
For a Christian, I think, is to love all this culture stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
You've been very gracious with me and loving me. That's,
yeah.
That's really, but yeah, you're right. It's for all, right? That's that neighbor, brother concept. So we have the working, we have the teaching, and you doing more. So here we go again with this whole tension, right? That's the formula for tension. So you have God working versus personal responsibility with you in the middle. Oh, and you have this tension.
Sanders. Okay, what time that night did you make this slide? Yeah. Come on, be honest.
I added that image at about 8:50 this morning.
That's what I was thinking.
This morning.
Okay. No. After coffee, you had a bright idea.
It's like the king cakes.
That's where I got it. All right, so how to grow. We have these three processes. This is the first one. Recognizing that the Spirit of God uses His Word to transform us, like what Craig was saying. We have to saturate our minds with Scripture, right? So we understand what love is, the description of love, and to show its importance in our head and in our heart, okay? So it has to have a priority. And it's kind of like, we have limited capacity in our brain. Our attention can only hold so much. So if we displace our current stuff that we bring to the table every morning, if we displace that with Scripture, and there's no room for that other stuff, right? Got to shovel it out.
Yeah.
Second process is praying. So pray that the Holy Spirit applies His Word in our hearts and in our daily lives, right? He goes before us. So confess when we fail on the highway. And then obedience. I mean, obedience is that expression of love towards Christ. And that is primary, and then the rest just kind of falls into place. So we have to do things that love dictates. I mean, Paul and Peter and John speak a lot about how we're to relate to one another. Love dictates a lot, right? There's a lot of verses about that. That's what these 3 weeks have really covered, is about what love dictates. So, any final comments?
Yeah, I'd like to say something about the Ephesians 5 passage of
25, 27.
You know, it says, husbands, love your wives, Christ loved the church, that he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her.
Right.
So it's not the husband's job to sanctify her or to cleanse her.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the husband's job to be the spiritual leader that she's washed with the word.
Yeah.
Right.
And God will do the sanctifying.
Yeah.
And the same thing for the wife towards the husband. Like, yeah. It's not the wife's job to cleanse her husband.
Right.
Or to try to change him.
That's a lot of freedom in that, too.
There is.
Because we just have to act in obedience, and He will take care of the details. Mm-hmm.
But that phrase ends with, through His Word.
Right.
And like we're seeing in John, who's the Word? I mean, it's Christ, right? It's God Himself. So it's not about you, the husband, the man, or you, the wife, the woman.
Yeah. But if the man's being the spiritual leader, he is in the Word, and he is being sanctified by Christ. So I think most women will follow that lead and follow suit.
It's an atmosphere that allows the Holy Spirit and the growth to happen, whether it's wife or kids.
Selflessness, stability, right? Giving.
We're attracted to those who love us. I mean, it's really hard to not love someone who loves you well.
Mm-hmm.
What difficult is when you're very old-fashioned, conservative, like my friend in front of you. to love somebody, to discipline them out of the right reason and not for, you know, the same thing with me. You know, I'm strict, old-fashioned. When I see put evil, I want to punish him, but I call it love because it's the right thing to do. And that is hard. And I use an example. And it's a true story. It was on the news years ago that a mother saw a report store got robbed, and she recognized her son, and she turned him in. And they interviewed her. How can you do that as a mother? You turn your son into little jail. She said, I love this guy. What C.F. was saying, I'd rather visit him in jail than in the morgue.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and yeah. That is true love. To discipline, but with the right reason, for the right reason, and not, hey, because it's right, you know, because I'm mad and he should be disciplined. No, because you love somebody for the right reason, and he needs to discipline.
Right.
And that is love, too, because we talk about love all the time. Well, what about love through discipline? Because mm-hmm. God loves his children, you know, and he disciplines them.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up a good point, because in a way, we need to separate true Christianity from cultural Christianity, right? I mean, we've grown up in that Western culture. There's a lot to that. And so just because that's what we've always done it, we don't need to act in fear and confronting those different people. It nearly needs to be out of legit, sincere love, right? Not cultural preservation, fear of losing the roots, you know? So those are good points.
I think something that's more difficult than actually doing the acts of love, you know, everybody speaks of, hey, it's hard to love someone you don't like or something like that, but something that's even harder than that is recognizing that we're not doing it. We get so programmed, and, you know, just like you were talking about gossip, or you get to work and everyone starts talking about, you hear about what so-and-so did and what so-and-so did, or blaming something for, you know, somebody comes up and says, well, I heard you screwed this up. Well, no, that was, you know, so-and-so. And
finger point.
Yeah, you get programmed doing this stuff, and unless someone points it out or you recognize it yourself that, hey, I'm doing that, then you can stop. It's easier to stop and easier to help that other person or love that other person or whatever it is. If you can recognize that it's even happening, you know, we do so many things unconsciously.
Yeah, I think the self-help perspective of, you know, we talked about this sometime in the past 2-3 years, but like dadgummit, who are they? The counterfeit people, to spot a counterfeit, they don't study counterfeits, they study the legit printing. And so you know the legit one, real one so well that if anything out of that derivates from that, you can spot it as a counterfeit. So I think using that concept in that application works, in that you know scripture so well, you know what, like earlier, you know what love looks like, you know how I need to relate to the other man. I know so well that when I hear myself going, nope, he did it, man, I can bust myself out. You know, it's like, man, there, I did it again, you know? So I think knowing scripture, I think, is that's the filter that'll catch and identify those goof-ups, you know?
But sometimes you do it before it's too late, you know?
Right. Oh, I know, trust me.
You catch it.
Yeah.
Well, I like that term filter. You know, you run things through that filter. Mm-hmm. The truth, and that's... You know, watching the news nowadays, there's nothing on TV you can believe anymore. But that's the nice thing about God's word. It never changes. It's always the truth.
Yeah. And the heart of man doesn't change, man. I mean, the roots are the same. It's just the sprouts are different.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so we don't need to be hung up on this level, you know. We know this level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just important for people to hear us ask for forgiveness, too, when we screw up.
That's a good point.
And we go to them and say, hey, you know what? Yesterday, I said this, this, and this. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. It was my mistake. I own it and move forward. Or if it wasn't my mistake, I wasn't involved and it's none of my business. I shouldn't have said anything.
That's a
if
good
your
point.
Your wife's not available to blame, you just take your responsibility off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we don't get roughed up.
Scratch that from the record. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this time, space, and place, and thank you for the weather. Lord, I do pray for those folks who have been impacted by this weather, that you heal up folks and be with the families of those who have passed. Thank you for love, and thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us minds that can contemplate and self-correct and be taught and learn and change and adapt and reflect what you would have us reflect for those who are watching us, Lord. And pray for our influence within our sphere of influence. And, you know, we are all equipped differently to navigate the waters that you have for us. And you know what you're doing. And may we submit to that and submit to your will and make decisions that bring you glory. And Lord, that we're just full of love, selfless love, that we just do desire the best for those around us. And we become more godly as each day progresses, Lord. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.